This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen-live or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, create it, change the point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, gem and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it.
This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Technogaze, where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. We're back from our 3-month hibernation and enjoying the new time slot. I'm Michael, and in the studio with me today is Donna.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good, how are you? Now, your continuity, you were at the last show before we went for our little sleep.
That's right. It's almost like it was just yesterday.
And we've just woken up and
we're back. Woken up all fresh as daisies.
And
is that a thing? Can you be fresh as daisies? Have I made that up?
Okay. Yes. And that other voice is a new voice, is Nicole. Welcome.
Why, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us your geek credentials, please.
Geek credentials. Well, I'm a digital marketer, so that says it all.
Digital.
And digital, all about digital. I'm all about trends, what's happening in the market, looking at what is, you know, currently happening in terms of online and offline and how that all merges together.
So digital marketing, does that mean you're our, like, Google Analytics guru?
We did talk about this. Yes, definitely.
Good.
Excellent. So you'll be able to bring us all the good stuff on what's happening out there with the interwebs.
Definitely.
And trends.
Sure. Yes. Looking forward to it.
So what do we have on today's show? We have got some GLBTIQ tech-related stories with dot-com power forcing Indiana to undo some anti-gay laws. Chelsea Manning issuing her first tweet from behind prison bars and Tim Cook's style differences to his predecessor,
yes,
Steve Jobs. Our tinfoil hats haven't rusted. And we're going to look at the fallout from the mandatory retention laws that recently passed in the Senate. There's lots and lots of stuff for that. And how one MP actually can undo the work of many with something which appears to be a joke. Well, I hope it's a joke. We have lots of other things that have happened in the last 3 months. We're going to look at Netflix, because Netflix is in Australia, and the iWatch is a step closer to reality.
I want one.
I don't know if I want one.
Talking about iWatch, we haven't outed Nicole. Go on. Oh. iOS or Android?
Oh, I have to say iOS.
Ah, dear, another one.
All of the Apple-y fans and stuff.
I'm getting cheers, trust me,
from
behind.
Yeah, look, you know, I mean, I was on Android, but I've got to admit, I've switched to iOS recently too. But, you know, both are good. It's not either or.
They all serve a purpose.
It's
the lonely voice of me against the two of you. Then,
No, I'm not dissing Android. Android's awesome.
But are you currently using Android?
Well, the tablet that I've got is a little bit rubbish, actually. But that's because of the hardware, not because of the software.
Yeah. Oh, well. Now, Tech Drive is on.
Tech Drive.
Yes.
And Tech Drive is important. But before we get to Tech Drive, we have got a few Facebook likers, new ones, haven't we, Nicole?
Yes, we do. We have 19 likes, which is great, so through the week. And I'd like to go through the list if we could.
Yep.
So I'd like to thank Maria, Kirana, Dawn, Manish, Angelo, Blairdine, Brendan, Cherry, Daniel, Dina, Nick, Nicole, not myself, someone else, Rose, Tanya, Theodora, Irene, Jim, Louise, and Maria.
Wow, that's a huge, huge number of new likey people thingies on the facial book.
So welcome to the facial book.
On the facial book. So if you want to find us on Facebook, we are TechnoGazeJoy949. You can also contact us on 1300JOY949. On 0427JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. And we're also on the Twitters as Technogaze, TechnoGaze.
And we welcome feedback. Now, as well as feedback, we also welcome your money because it's Tech Drive.
Yes.
If we're sounding a little bit scratchy, it's not because we've just woken up from our three-month hibernation, it's because our antenna is failing.
We've got a kind of hipster, like old record, you know, cred thing going on with our dodgy transmitter, but it's not really professional sounding. So we want a new one, right?
We want $20,000 to replace it.
$20,000.
Anyone that has $20,000, no, we're kidding.
No. We won't discourage anyone who's got $20,000.
If you've got $20,000 and you just want to call this game over, then, you know, we'd love it. But, you know, if smaller amounts are also welcome, amounts over $2 are even tax deductible, and you know that end of financial year is coming. But we've got something even better. We're going to
renew or continue a tradition. Now, Mark isn't here at the moment because he's off consuming some Hungarian sausage somewhere in Hungary, that is. And he started a tradition. He was going to, last year he matched dollar for dollar every donation that was made. So I think it's only fair in his absence that we continue that tradition.
Every donation or just during the show?
No, during the show. Every donation between now and 6 o'clock. We will match it. Now, unfortunately, I don't have his credit card number, so I will put my credit card number in there. And I am going to cap it at $500. But, you know, somebody or everyone, please make me poor.
Sounds
now,
great.
Starting us off, we have got a donation of $30 from Raina.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Raina.
Thanks,
thank
Raina.
You.
Hello.
And now this other donation came in just a minute before news, so it does belong to the Fender Bender guys. It is from Matt from Brunswick, $50. Thank you very much for that. So, everyone, please contribute, send in the money, make me poor, make us sound better, crisper.
To donate, call 1-300-569-949 or donate online at joy.org.au.
Yeah, the website's a really, really easy way to donate money. It works really well.
And as
it's quick
a tech show, we advocate
online.
For the
Definitely.
Online approach.
I agree.
This is Technogaze on Joy 94.9 with Michael, Nicole and Donna. We're going to launch straight into the stories. And we've got some GLBTIQ relevant stories in the text this week.
I love it when we get quilt bag geek crossover in the Venn diagram. It's just awesome.
It is good. Indeed.
It's just so perfect for us. It always makes me feel like warm and fuzzy. And all right, I'm just going to be quiet. Sorry.
What's been happening, Nicole?
Well, what's been happening is the .com intimidation forces in Indiana about the hated anti-gay law. Mm.
Yeah, so they've introduced, they tried to introduce a new law that would allow shop owners to not serve and kick people out of premises if they offended their religious beliefs.
Yes, and I think obviously how we all feel about that is something that's obviously of a discriminatory nature. And over in Indiana, the politicians are trying to clarify the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
I like the wording that they use, clarify.
Yes, and it's actually in talking marks too, all the posts that I've been reading.
Yeah, it's one of these things I find most bizarre about, you know, freedom of speech kinds of issues is it's kind of like, well, I have the right to be freedom of speech, but it's at someone else's expense. It's just kind of always strikes me as somewhat just not right.
It's okay to discriminate because I just feel like discriminating.
It's my free speech is right to discriminate against people or something. It's like, wait, how does that work?
Totally agree. It doesn't work. But on a lighter note, companies like Apple, Salesforce, Oracle, EMC and Angie's List are actually against the law. So they're actually taking a stand. And they're obviously not agreeing with the way that it's been handled.
Yeah, and they threatened to pull out of the Indy Big Data event, which
yes.
I think runs alongside the the NASCAR race. And also, I think it was Angie's List was planning to employ about 1,000 people in the state, and they threatened to decide to go elsewhere.
Right. Wow.
So that's when the legal people decide to clarify.
Yes.
Sort of a nice example of the power of the market actually coming to play in a good way.
Yes, and the power of the dot-coms that obviously are still growing and they bring a lot of business into individual states and they're able to do these type of things. So there has been an amendment to the law which has gone through, which does remove the right to discriminate on the ground of sexual orientation or gender identity. But you know, just the thought of even introducing something like that. It just seems so strange, especially here in
Australia. Especially in this day and age anyway.
Yes. It's, you know, it's one thing to have religious beliefs and everything else, but it's the other to, you know, actively discriminate against people.
It makes me wonder how representative those legislative bodies actually are of what people, what the majority think. I mean, given that, that voter turnout in the US is so very low.
Yes, definitely.
I do wonder that.
But I think it's there's always a group of very vocal people that sort of get together and push things through. Mm. Now, it was so vocal, in fact, that there was at one stage there was a pizza place that was talking about the law and says, oh, well, if somebody who's gay came in, I wouldn't serve them. And they got a lot of mail and a lot of harassments, and they had to shut up shop because it was just sort of too much and sort of try to remain under the radar for a bit.
Yes.
So what happens?
Well, they still got funding, didn't they?
Yeah, somebody started up a crowdsource fund.
Like a GoFundMe sort of.
And raised $250,000 so they wouldn't be out of pocket. Now, unfortunately, Indiana isn't the only state. Arkansas passed a similar law, but it's currently being held up because the governor has refused to sign it.
Yes.
So that's good. And there's a group, I think, of 40 technology companies, including eBay, Twitter, Yelp and Airbnb, that have signed an open letter threatening further boycotts if similar legislation is passed elsewhere. So at least the pressure is on other Bible Belt states if they decide to do the same thing.
This is actually really interesting. And I wonder if, you know, it was probably about a year or two back now, there was the It Gets Better campaign, which a whole bunch of tech companies really got behind. And there are sort of groups within a lot of those organisations who are really pro-diversity and pro, you know, equal rights and all that sort of stuff. And now, you know, now we're seeing this really kind of more overtly in the market rather than necessarily, you know, as supporting employees. It's like saying, well, actually, we're part of the broader society and we're not going to stand for it there either. Mm. I think this is like quite a significant development.
And it's, you know, in those markets where they actually go in and threaten, they're obviously going to probably lose some business longer term because people are going to, who, you know, obviously voting for these laws are going to say, oh, we don't want to deal with them. But they obviously are looking beyond the bottom line and saying
so.
This is, you know, this is what we should be doing.
What's really good is there's a shift. So
definitely.
No longer are they just technology companies offering products and services, but there's actually a voice behind the brand.
Yes.
And they're standing up for people. So if you possibly feel a little bit different about the brand based on this.
Yeah, so
you might feel a little bit different.
What do you think about the big tech companies standing up for the GLBTI community? Has it changed your perspective on how you view them as a brand? We would love to hear your thoughts on this. So give us a buzz or email us on air at joy.org.au.
That's right, and send along some money as well for our new antenna.
Oh, yes, Tech Drive.
We're spruiking.
Money, donate. Go to the website.
Tech Drive.
We're twitching our antennas here in the studio.
We haven't seen any notifications come through. Come on, call us. Call us now. Donate to our Tech Drive so we can get a great big new antenna.
That will last us a century.
I don't know.
That's optimistic.
Well, with technology, you never know.
We won't be around, so it's okay. in along the same line in terms of tech companies and sort of doing something different, Tim Cook is shaping up to be a little bit of a different leader than Steve Jobs.
Well, he is a little bit different. He has, obviously we all know that he did come out last year as being gay, and at the same time he's looking at different ways of promoting Apple in the way that he's pushing products. So if we had to look at Jobs and we look at Tim Cook, they are very different people. You know, Jobs preferred to have individual songs, but Cook emphasizes on social justice and political causes. And Jobs was very much about his privacy. So
yeah, Steve Jobs never revealed anything about himself and what he thought about things and so on.
It's really interesting, isn't it? And like when Cook came out, he came out, you know, as to say that he was gay, but he also came out and said that this is politics is part of who we are at Apple, and if some of our shareholders don't like it, well, perhaps they shouldn't own shares in Apple. And I thought that was pretty fascinating.
It's very bold, yeah.
Definitely. So with with Cook's approach, you know, he does take things on a personal level more so in his views, in what he believes. One of the things that he spoke about was the plan was to eventually give away most of his wealth to charity. So when he dies, $800 million would go towards charity. So that just shows the level of consciousness that he sort of works in.
What's interesting is, you know, Bill Gates has done the same thing, but I think he left all of his donations and talking about it until after he actually left Microsoft or retired from the main job. Although he always did say, I think, that he wasn't going to leave the bulk of his fortune to his children because it was basically how much money can, you know, a person spend in their lifetime. And Tim Cook's doing it now and talking about it a little bit more openly now. I wonder if this is going to be a bit of a trend in the tech industry with CEOs and leaders talking, you know, about the things that they're very close, feel very, you know, close about.
Well, I sort of hope so. I mean, I think I was saying before we came into the studio that I'm actually really pleased to see that tech companies now engaging in the politics of other things rather than it just being about the cold, hard technology, the fact that their technology is used by human beings and those human beings are affected by all sorts of other issues that have nothing to do with the toys that we play with.
And in fact, you know, they're often adversely affected by the toys that we play with because it usually results with a lot of people, you know, being put out of work.
Yes.
If you're introducing a new technology.
And has opened up, you know, our daily minute-by-minute surveillance just to, you know, polish off those tinfoil hats.
You know, some people might call this spin and other people might call it half glass, half full. You call it surveillance. I call it online backup.
I call it consciousness.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes.
There's an angle. I like it. Mm. But I'm also kind of a little bit creeped out by it.
Yes, just a bit. Yeah. Now, Tim Cook, of course, I think is probably resting his leadership future on the Apple Watch, isn't he?
Well, he is. With the Apple Watch, the most expensive one costing at $17,000. That's if you want something a little bit more.
That's gold and glitzy.
Haven't we come a long way from the digital watch of the 70s?
Do you know what my daughter is wearing at the moment? No. A Casio watch replica.
A replica.
Yeah, well, if it says Casio, I don't know if it's the original, if it's made by Casio or not.
That's hilarious.
It's back in.
I think TwitPic, it didn't happen.
But you can have alternative versions, though. There are ones
cheaper
that you can
ones.
Get. Well, there's still $349 going up to $800. So you do have a bit of variety there.
I want to know if there's going to be like a Apple Swatch mashup thing. Mm-hmm.
There might be.
Be good if it was holographic.
A holographic mashup. I still actually want, you know, Swatch Time to have been a success, you know, like Beats, but that's just me, I know.
If the whole band is an LCD screen, then you could have different theme bands. Oh, there's a product idea.
Sorry, my eyes are just going, wow, yeah, that sounds like a cool idea.
Yet another techno gaze first.
Well, do you think it will do well?
Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit more detail later on, aren't we?
Mm.
Because there have been some not sneak previews, some videos have been put out about the watch and the press have got hold of it.
So what do you all think? Get in touch. Tweet at us, at TechnoGaze. What are your thoughts on the Apple Watch? Is it something that you're going to buy? I saw a tweet. I actually, TechnoGaze retweeted this just before. Someone found a magazine cover from 1981, Byte magazine, which has a beautiful old school looking computer on someone's wrist and a teensy weensy little floppy disk and going to the side. It's so cute. So cute. We'll put it up on our homepage later.
On the facial book?
On the facial book.
I wonder how many people remember Byte magazine and how many people remember 1981?
How many people weren't even born in 1981?
Alas, I was old. Okay, what else do we have?
Twitters. Speaking of Twitters, Chelsea Manning hath twitterated from prison. She set up a low-tech Twitter account from prison and is, you know, I didn't even know that was possible, but, you know, I suppose.
Well, technically she hasn't set it up herself.
Someone else has.
So she's got someone doing it for her. But the posts are still coming from her.
Oh, okay. So what, she conveys a message to somebody and then somebody tweets on her
That's
behalf.
That's right. Exactly.
So those of you who may not remember, Chelsea Manning was the person who leaked stuff to WikiLeaks about what was going on in Iraq when she was at Fort Leavenworth military prison, and there was a lot of controversy around her transition and whether or not, you know, she should be going to prison and all sorts of stuff. So she's been she's kind of been made a bit of a poster child to a bunch of things, and I don't know that she necessarily sort of feels that way. So it's going to be pretty interesting to hear her own voice come through in on Twitter.
And have the ability to reach a large number of people through, you know, through the Twitter sphere.
Well, she's already got 11,000 following at the moment.
Wow.
It's probably even climbing now.
Did she open the account?
It was like a couple of days ago.
Oh, wow.
So
that's two more than Technogaze.
Maybe if we're really lucky, Chelsea will follow us.
Possibly. Who knows? But yeah, so she's obviously getting a following, so it could definitely be something to look out for and see how that will organically grow on its own.
Yeah, yeah. Such an important role in our society, and so maligned as that of the whistleblower, right? And the work that Chelsea did by getting that story, by getting that information out to WikiLeaks, is pretty significant, and it really, I think it had a really big impact. But, you know, the impact on her as a person has also been, you know, the flip side of that.
Yes, it's a huge impact, and the ability for her to reach such a broad range of people.
It's really good.
Yes.
Welcome, Chelsea, welcome.
You're listening to Technogaze. It's 26 minutes past five. Yes, we want some donations, please, for Tech Drive.
And if you donate before 6 p.m, we will match your donations up to $500.
Wow.
So come on, open your wallets or whip out your credit cards and give us your cash.
So you can hear us clearer and louder.
Although I reckon, you know, a little bit of crackle might be, you know, a bit of hipster cred.
Bit old school, isn't it?
Bit old school.
Now, talking about crackle, how about the crackle of tin foils?
Oh.
Because they were crackling recently because the senators passed the mandatory data retention laws.
This makes me so cranky. So cranky.
Oh, dear. So, Australian telcos are going to be required to keep metadata for 2 years now.
What's metadata, Michael?
Well, if we listen to our Attorney General, we may never know.
Well, very true.
So, you know, because we use devices such as smartphones, which have listening devices in them, have GPSs built into them. We use them to make calls, obviously. We also use them to send SMSs and emails, and we take photos. Every time we do that, if you haven't really locked down the settings on your phone, that data's being tracked and it recorded, and, you know, that stuff. The when, where, how, that stuff is metadata. What's not really clear in the legislation is exactly what metadata is being recorded, by whom and where. They say it's our ISPs, so they probably don't have our GPS info, or do they?
Well, they said originally it was going to be IP addresses. Now, I think there's going to be some definition coming out shortly, so that will be nice to know. It's sort of, let's pass the law first and then we'll define what we're passing. And yeah, theoretically, it's just going to be IP addresses. But you can still, you know, an IP address you match to a site, usually. Although, where a website, like a commercial website provider, hosts for multiple people, they could be sharing IP addresses, couldn't they?
Yes.
Well, apparently, I can't remember which jurisdiction, but someone somewhere has recently ruled that an IP address cannot be assigned, you know, cannot be said to belong to a particular person. It's just not. It's just not feasible. That was a ruling.
Well, it depends where you are as well.
It
depends where you are as well. You could be on three different devices, and that IP address is
being
located.
Shared.
Exactly.
Share houses, you know.
I wonder if part of the requirements is to understand data retention, to understand that, you know, Michael was using this IP address from this date to this date and from this date to this date, and then it changed from this date to this date.
Correct.
So then we can match up this IP address to this website. It was used by Michael.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cloud and fog around this issue, and it's really hard to get at the kernel of the truth, I think. We've got, you know, misunderstandings from the politicians who are making the laws as one part of it. We've got a lack of clarity from the ISPs about what they're actually doing. There's people on the one end saying, look, it's just putting into law practice that's already happening and it's all fine, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. We've got the other sort of side of the equation where, you know, our friends with tinfoil hats saying the sky is falling, this is surveillance of the worst kind, you know, it's East Germany, it's, you know, it's pogroms, it's all going to end in people in jail and all sorts of things. But somewhere the reality is in the middle, and what hasn't really been are adequately done is really explain to the public what it means for them, you know, in a really easy to understand way, which is why I think this legislation passed so easily, is because most people don't really understand what the issues
haven't,
are.
They haven't been, they've probably read the information, but they're not quite sure
what
how
it really
to decipher
means.
It.
Yeah.
IP address.
What does that mean?
And from a political standpoint, it's, you know, surveillance can only be good because the more information we have, the better things are.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about trying to get that personalisation in some sort of way without sort of saying it.
Yeah.
By getting that data, then you can interpret what that person would like, what they're seeing, how does that work in everyday society.
Mm.
But through an IP address, I don't know.
You know, the government really did a botch marketing sell job, you know, initially when they started talking about it. And they haven't really sort of done much better. You know, Tony Abbott did try to allay media concerns by saying that warrants would be needed to gain access to journalist-related data. But these warrants are going to be given by an issuing authority, and that's going to be comprised of judicial, administrative, appeals tribunal, lawyers or friends of the minister, and all of these appointments can be terminated at the minister's pleasure. So it's not really a warrant. It's not, you know, the judiciary which is separate from the government, because if the minister doesn't like, you know, whoever's there...
Mate of the minister can say, oh, look, and you... Yeah,
otherwise I'll sack
you
and you'll lose whatever, you know, $2.50 an hour we're giving you, whatever the case may be.
There was some pretty compelling testimony. Well, actually, interrogation and testimony at Senate Estimates with Greens Senator Ludlam. He actually said that in, I know, I think he said this in Parliament in Estimates, that it's remarkable you would bring forward a bill without knowing how much it's going to cost or how you're going to evaluate the cost. So he's been one of the strongest opponents to this legislation and was disappointed on the Twitters when it was passed and was in Parliament at the time. But in Estimates, he really pushed hard on this, but not hard enough.
Unfortunately, we've only had dissent from the Independents and the Greens. Yeah. Labor's essentially backed it.
Well, Labor brought this forward when they were in government last, and I think it's important to remember that this is something that has come from the agencies. This has come from the intelligence agencies and law enforcement, and they have been telling some pretty scary stories to say that this is justified and this is required. And some of those stories are indeed scary, but does that justify putting every single Australian under surveillance all the time?
And being able to get at it without really a process that's fully transparent.
No judicial oversight.
It's there's always the balance between security and privacy.
And there's also sort of been some high comedic value in this, in that we've had the communications minister, who is ostensibly, you know, in charge of this legislation, gleefully telling us all how we can avoid having our data, recorded by using various tools, techniques, apps and what have you. it's just laughable.
Is this Malcolm Turnbull with his little push for leadership standing out basically saying, you know, I don't fully support it 100%?
He was trying to say, on the one hand, I think, look, there's nothing to worry about here, really. There's nothing to see. Move along. But if you are worried, then you can just, you know, work around it by doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, what kind of a law is that?
Yes. Well, at least he's giving us tips.
There are some tools out there that I
Turnbull's
have seen.
Tips.
Turnbull's tips. Well,
say that quickly.
Maybe there should be a Tumblr for Turnbull's tips.
Now, this I think has to be a joke, an attempt at a joke by a minister, and it really is very in poor taste and in bad timing. That was it. Liberal MP Jamie Briggs tweeted in response to a journalist's comment, "Oh, Bernard, you can do better than that. I'll check your metadata. I'm sure I'll find something better."
Is that Bernard Keane? Was that directed at Bernard Keane?
It was directed at, maybe. Sorry.
Maybe or maybe not.
But to turn around, when your government is saying, you know, we've got proper process and all of these, and is, you know, saying, say something you don't like and I'll go have a look at your metadata?
Yeah, it's kind of not cool.
No.
Yet. Please don't do that.
Sean McAuliffe is going to get another series out of that.
That's where he gets his material.
I think so.
If only, you know, at least we can laugh at our politicians. Let's take some comfort in that, at least for the time being.
For the time being, until you get thrown in jail. Now, we have had an email message from Mark. He's obviously pulled his mouth out of that sausage, or the sausage out of his mouth, because he's on a train about to leave Budapest, and he's very excited to hear the tinfoil news. He has promised to make a donation, but beating him to that donation is Wendy from Monturna South, who donated $60. Thank you very much, Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy, and I love the alliteration of Wendy from Monturna South. That's fabulous.
We paid her for that. Okay.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the donation?
Oh, she paid us. Okay, well.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Now, it's not only the Australians that are spying on their citizens. The French are getting into the act.
So the French appear to be on the verge of enacting what it's shaping up to be their own version of the Patriot Act. Mm. This is actually, they started on this before the attacks on Charlie Hebdo and the supermarket, before all that really nastiness stuff. They'd already been going down this path.
Yeah.
But when I read this, I kind of felt like, you know, I think it's time that we developed a bit of a techno-gaze tinfoil hat bingo card for surveillance issues. You know, like, this has all the hallmarks. It's like, lack of meaningful judicial oversight. Tick. requirements for service providers to monitor and analyse user data, and this one goes even further, plus report suspicious patterns. So not only collect and store the data, but also can you please do the analysis for us and also tell us when you see something bad.
You need to be a data analyst to actually
right,
do that.
Right, you know, so okay. this goes even further than that. You know, longer periods of time and no public transparency, tick, 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 bingo! You know, this has all the hallmarks, and it's just like increasingly happening. It's like, there's nothing to stop this kind of tidal wave of...
Sort of copycats?
Yeah, well, you know, I wonder if they're just all using off-the-shelf software or something.
Possibly.
You know?
What, script kiddies
created
of surveillance?
Created by a data analyst.
Maybe they're just rushing whilst the tide is in the right direction of public opinion and, you know, to get in and do this type of thing. Because, you know, the reason why they've compared it to the Patriot Act is that the Patriot Act was passed by the legislature because nobody understood the ramifications of it when they said, yes, we're going to vote for it.
Right.
And it's the same thing here.
And the reality is that in most people's day-to-day lives, you know, in most mainstream people's day-to-day lives, this stuff just doesn't matter at all. One of the issues with a lot of this stuff and data collection is this concept of data sourcing or meta sourcing, where they go through, they have access to the data, they can run algorithms of it. So much data is collected, you don't actually have a human being sitting there going, oh, let's go and see if anyone's been naughty today. What happens is people write algorithms to process that data and look for patterns, and they put in keywords. And this is where they can then surface things like, oh, let's go look for environmental activist keywords today, and surface stuff that then means they go out and search out stuff of whatever the government or the authority of the day wants to pick on. And if it's environmental activism, if it's LGBTI activism, you know, if it's you know, people who are against a particular type of law being brought in or want a particular law removed, that stuff is seen as, you know, attacking the government and therefore a bad thing. You know, we live in a pretty open and plural society, to, you know, all indications otherwise, but we do. And we take a lot of stuff for granted. There are a lot of parts of the world where this stuff is really serious. And like,
right.
I think we recently saw some rulings in Africa where one of the apps, we talked about
Grindr,
you know, had said, look, we're just going to remove this functionality because it's being used in such powerfully bad ways. Mm. And having this stuff stored, okay, so our ISPs might be all, you know, all fine, our government might be fine, but what about if there's a security breach and all of that data gets used by people who aren't fine and happy
and what
and
happens
our
if
friends.
There's a change of wind in the way that the government thinks?
Right.
It's all available and all there.
It's all there.
Indeed. Well, tinfoil's keeping us busy as usual.
Thanks, Mark. We did it for you.
Now, talking about Mark, we've had another donation. A Mark from Hyatt. Actually, it really should be Mark from A Train on in Budapest. Has donated $499. Thank you, Mr. Pownie.
That is game over.
That's it.
No, it's not game over. It's not game over. We still want more donations.
Oh, we still want more donations.
We have 18 minutes, the hour of six. We have 18 minutes to go. So please keep on donating, because we want to get a full transmitter that will transmit No and scratchy voices.
The appeal actually ends, was it tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
Yes, so, you know, we're close, but we're not close enough. So please, 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 please donate so we can get a shiny new transmitter.
Exactly.
Technogiz.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
We are amazing here on Technogiz. The three of us, Michael, Nicole and Donna. Because we're getting money for...
Transmitter. If, the radio station ain't sounding like it used to, and that's because our transmitter's a bit old and crusty. Old and crusty, you like us. Speak for yourself, Michael.
Okay, I'm old and crusty.
You're old and crusty. I'm not old and crusty.
No, you're young.
Nicole's definitely not old and crusty, but our transmitter is, and we need a new one. So this is where you come in. Please, please, please donate your hard-earned cash to help us get a brand new shiny transmitter. You can donate online at joy.org.au, or you can use the telephone if you're old school.
If you want to talk to someone.
Oh, you could talk to someone, yeah. Or you could just be listening to us. You don't need to talk to someone.
Talk to Heath. Heath would love to talk to you.
Heath is actually sitting by the phone ready to take your call, and I've lost the phone number. Here it is. Call us on 1300 569 949 or donate online at joy.org.au.
While we were sleeping, things have happened in this world.
Really?
Netflix-y no. things.
It was just like yesterday we were in here having a natter. What do you mean things have happened while we were sleeping? Is there some kind of parallel universe or something?
Don't talk about parallel universes.
Okay. I won't. I'll remember.
We could be in one right now.
This is too confusing.
Yes. So, things have been happening. Is it Netflix? Netflix things?
Netflix has launched.
Pa-pow!
Yay!
Yeah, well, we'll get to the pa-pow in a minute.
But yeah.
Yes. Joy, sort of cheers and hand claps and everything else.
Yay, now, Netflix. What's Netflix?
What's Netflix? It's the streaming video on demand service made popular in America that's gone to quite a number of other countries. It's finally made it to Australia and New Zealand. So they're launched in both countries at the same time.
So this is streaming video on demand, but it started out as DVDs through the post,
yes.
right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's how old that? I am, yes. Speaking of old and crusty.
Back in the days when there were DVDs. Yeah, Netflix really helped break the stranglehold on video stores because you could go order online and they'd post it out to you and you'd look at it and put it back in the post.
And you don't even have to wait for it to download. It just plays.
Yes.
Right?
It does.
Choose what you want. Press play.
And Netflix has got quite a good catalogue of TV shows as well as their own content.
Except in Australia.
Except in Australia. Now, Netflix are a little bit cagey because they don't actually say what shows they have in each of the markets. But somebody, I think it was the Sydney Morning... No, it was Lifehacker. They had a look at the box office hit movies in the US version, the top number one box office hit movies on the US version, the Australian. And we have about 20% of the US version.
20%?
Yeah, 20%. The other 80% are not
so
there.
So I wonder if we're paying 20%... less for our Netflix subscription.
No, you mean 80% less because we're getting 20%.
I mean,
of the,
yeah. Yes.
It is very cheap though, but we only get 20%.
Mm. It is.
Is it considerably cheaper than the US offering though?
Well, with the current exchange rate, as it happens, it is slightly cheaper than the US offering.
Slightly cheaper.
Which is pretty amazing because usually with the Australia tax, it's more expensive, but the Australia tax is being applied in terms of fewer box office hits available to Australian.
So why is that?
Well, it's all to do with the tie-ups between the various studios and the distribution companies, all the stuff that is the reason why, you know, your favourite music store, whether it be from Google or whether it be from Apple, is all country-based because, you know, the artist or the recording label has done a deal with Company A in this market and Company B in that market because in many, many years ago, there was no such thing called the internet and you had no choice but to buy it from Company A and you just couldn't, you know, physically get it from somewhere else. But times have changed, agreements haven't.
So what kind of content is on Netflix? Like, you know, obviously we don't have as much as the Netflix in the US, but what actually is... you know, on it? What kinds of things can people expect to see?
Well, one of the things that Netflix is quite well known for is its own content. And House of Cards with Kevin Spacey is quite a popular one. So House of Cards is coming as part of the Australian release.
Oh, right.
So if you're a House of Cards follower, because you happen to be overseas and saw it on somebody's television when you were overseas, because you
can
get...
Oh, you can buy it on DVD or Blu-ray.
Can you? Mm. What's Blu-ray? You can now see it as Netflix. Now, there is a little loophole, apparently, with Netflix, that there are some services, I believe, out there that allow you to use a VPN to pretend that you've got a US you know, IP address, and you can then access Netflix US subscription. If you have an Australian subscription at the moment, and whether they close this loophole or not, I don't know, you can also go onto the US store, US Netflix with your VPN and get the full content from the US Netflix store. Isn't that good?
Is it legal?
Next question. We don't offer any financial or legal advice on this show because we will get it wrong.
Yes, that's true. So yes. One of the other things that's interesting, obviously this is something you use on your internet, you know, connection thing. Downloading vast amounts of content like this quickly adds up in your data quota, because mm-hmm. that's one of the things we do still have here in Australia, is quite limited bandwidth. That's a conversation.
But, you know, there are packages out there that give you a little bit more in terms of internet access.
Yes, there are packages that give you more. You can get a bigger, fatter, you know, data allocation. Yes. But what's really interesting is both Optus and iNet yes. signed agreements with Netflix to make it unmetered. Yes. So that means download all you want.
Well,
right?
I have Optus, so yes. I get as much as I want.
And how,
whenever I want.
Have you signed up to
Netflix?
Netflix? Yes,
customer?
I have.
You're Netflix
yes,
enabled?
Netflix yes, only last week.
So tell us, give us the experience.
Rundown.
Yeah.
Look, it's a great experience. I get to watch what I want. You know, I'd like to have a bit more variety, of course, you know, with the US side of it. But, you know, it is, at this point in time, it's a really great service. I have tried also other ones that have come out here with Nine and Fairfax, which is Stan and also Presto, which are the other alternatives as well.
And how would you say it compares?
Well, I prefer Stan, to be honest, mm-hmm. versus Presto. I think Stan has a little bit more variety, but it's one of those things, it's still a growing aspect because it's quite new. And I think once they sort of bring a little bit more to the table, then there'll be more variety on there as well. But certainly it's a great way of watching TV.
Okay, cool. And like, how would you describe like the actual experience of using it? Is it easy? Is it difficult? I mean, can you find what you're looking
for? Oh, look, it's very easy to use. But at the same time, you don't have to watch it on TV. You can watch it on your iPad. So if you want to sort of go away and have your own sort of little corner where you can watch whatever you want, then you have that sort of accessibility. So I think that's where that, I guess, flexibility is when it comes to these type of on-demand.
Interesting. Yeah. And as a digital marketer, what do you think this means for how... I mean, like, because television has been funded by advertising for a long time, right? So I wonder how that kind of is going to play into, you know, if we're streaming on demand, we're not watching ads, but obviously marketers and people and advertisers are going to want to speak to us somehow.
Definitely. And that's where we can utilise the big data side of it. So and that's where we can find out what is it that people are actually liking in terms of watching on demand, and how can we sort of use advertising as a way of personalising it. So it'll be more of a personalised aspect to advertising rather than just a one-way sort of communication.
Actually, that reminds me, isn't it? Sorry, Michael, that Netflix were the ones who put out the $1 million bounty some years ago for their recommendation engine. Is that...
Yes, that's
Does
right.
That ring a bell?
Yeah, that rings a bell. I remember that. If somebody could beat it, I think.
Yeah, because part of their kind of winning strategy was that they had this brilliant algorithm to, you know, recommend things that you like.
Yeah. Hmm. Now, one of the issues with all these different competing products is they all have different agreements with different TV shows, and there is different content in there. Now, Stan, for instance, which is Nine and Fairfax, does include a transgender comedy series called Transparent.
Ah.
And Stan, as Heath has just told us, is the only one of the three that's got an LGBTIQ selection or section. Yeah.
Right. Like a search category or something.
Yeah.
Stan has that and the others don't.
Netflix and the other one doesn't, Presto don't have that. So, yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
I actually, just to say, I came across one the other day called Vessel. I don't know if you've
Vessel,
heard of it.
Vessel, no.
Oh, it sounds like a great name, doesn't it? But it's one where it's very much the same. It's generated by people. So you go onto Vessel, you can actually subscribe. It's very inexpensive, and you can look at programs that people have created, as well as US and so forth. So you've got access to things like Ellen. If you want to watch Ellen, you can watch the show via Vessel. Yeah, it's really great.
So it's kind of crowdsource programmed, yes, rather than dictated by some, you know, executive in some...
Exactly.
That's fascinating. Vessel. I'll have
Vessel,
to
you'll
out.
Have to look
cool,
at
cool,
it.
Cool.
We're running out of time, unfortunately, because we were going to talk a little bit about the impact of all these subscribers jumping onto IINet's network, which has taken a bit of a dive in terms of performance, because it appears that they didn't expect so many people to be using Netflix. So, and they were doing a little bit of finger pointing towards Telstra at one stage, and Telstra said, no, sorry, not us.
There's always a lot of finger pointing in this space, and it's kind of, I just wish they'd, you know, be more collaborative or something and figure out what the problem is rather than just blaming each other.
Yeah, a little bit open and transparent and honest and all those type of things.
What are those things?
I don't know.
And where our data goes.
Yes.
Technogaze.
This is Technogaze, and as usual, we are running out of time.
No.
It happens every single show.
We're just
warming up.
I know. And well, hey, look, at least we're back, right? We had a little pause.
Bit of a snooze.
We had some restful sleeps, and now we're back, and we will be back again next week.
We will indeed. Now, we have to say thank yous to Anne from Q East for donating $100.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Anne. You are awesome.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
We have also got a donation from Jared in Murrumbina, $10. Thank you very much. And Jared said, will you be able to use the old transmitter somewhere else where scratchy joy is better than no joy? Jared, we are planning to use the old transmitter, I believe, as a backup to the new one. So at least we'll have a little bit of redundancy, which, as we all know in the tech world, is very good.
Yes.
We have a message from... from David that says Netflix been taken up so much it's overloading ISP capacity. That's right. Yes. So we will see how Netflix can, or IINet, I should say, can adjust their network to make it perform a little bit better in a reasonably short period of time, because maybe some of these things take months.
Yeah, to add more capacity is no trivial thing. But hey, it's an exciting development. So yay.
Watch this space.
Indeed. So this is the end of Technogaze for today on our new time slot. Actually, it's quite nice being here in the afternoon.
Listen, live at 5 on Saturdays.
Live at 5.
Oh, nice. Do we need a chopper sound? Live at 5.
Maybe we could have a segment where we look out the window and talk about what we can see from our lofty position here above Burke Street.
See lots of buildings.
Yes. The dome of the State Library. It's lovely.
It is indeed. Coming up next is A Touch of Pink with Dick. But before that, we have the news at 6 with Byron. So it's going to be goodbye from us, and we
will
speak to you next week.
Bye, Nicole. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.